Good morning, Art Street. Peace of Christ. Our scripture reading today is from the book of John. I follow the lectionary. That way I can try and have the word be truly inspired and not just what I want to share with everyone. I'm going to read from John. There will be references to the unsigned letter to the Hebrews, but we'll get to that. As for now, it is John chapter 12, verse 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven came, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was like thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. Let us turn our thoughts to God. Gracious and loving God, thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you and to listen for your word. Let us eat the meat and spit out the bones. Please let us hear what you have to say to us in this age. Bless your word, bless us that we may hear and receive your thoughts. Now please quiet every thought within us and bless us with your truth, so we may be and become the people you had in mind since the dawn of time. Amen. So I'm in seminary, and one of the preachers that taught me tells me that there is a seminary method or a preaching method out there that goes something like this. Tell them what you're gonna tell them. Tell them. Then tell them what you told them. I'm going to run with that for a minute. So wherever you are this week, we are entering the fifth Sunday of Lent. Whether you are missing chocolate and really looking forward to that first bite of a chocolate Cadbury Easter egg, or if you are struggling with how to balance the secular with the sacred, or if you recognize that we are in a season that makes it clear and forces us to wrestle with the heartbreaking paradox that God's inbreaking came to humanity just to be crucified. It's hard. It's hard to be Christian. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I would even dare to say it's not supposed to be easy. Last time I was lucky enough to spend some time in this virtual pulpit, I said something along the lines of the good news of the gospel can sometimes be bad news on earth. And I think it was Kim that very astutely quickly wrote into the chat, it certainly was bad news for John the Baptist. I chuckled and I cringed at the exact same time because somebody so quickly understood the depth of what I was saying. I chuckled because of it and I cringed because of it too, because there is a very hard reality behind what it is to be a Christian. So just for a little bit of context here, everything that whenever we talk about the Bible, whenever we reference the Bible, we are always referencing it in translation. So the good news is a translation from a Greek concept. It is not the same good news as I read in the morning when I pick up the newspaper and I read how many people in the world got their COVID vaccine yesterday. This good news is not an isolated incident. This is the good news of the gospel. I wrote this down so I could remember it. This good news encompasses the depth and breadth of God's message to humanity through the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is the whole gospel message. Or if we zoom out a little bit more, it's the entire arc of God's mega narrative that begins before the foundations of the earth and ends in our eschatology. I could even say that the good news is the only news. But sometimes that's hard news. And that's what I want to talk about today. Instead of saying the good news is bad news, I probably should have said the good news can be hard news for Christians. This is the fifth Sunday in Lent, and as we know, Jesus has turned his face towards Jerusalem. He is prophesying about his own death at this point. And this type of news can be hard, and it can be especially hard for those that come from any space of privilege or power. You know, back when gymnasiums, fitness centers, were only slightly concerning cesspools of bacteria and viruses, back when it was only mildly unsettling to go to a gym, I made a resolution that I was gonna try and bench press my own weight, which was more naive than optimistic. But I will never remember, I will always remember getting onto the bench and tucking under the bar with absolutely no weight on either ends of it. And thinking to myself, oh, this is going to be hard. But just because something's hard doesn't mean that it's bad. That's a difference there. Building a house is hard, but it doesn't mean that it's bad. Giving birth is really hard, but it doesn't mean that it's bad. I'm sure you get the point, but you know, we can always go with one more. Staying home to reduce the risk of catching and spreading COVID-19 is hard, but it doesn't mean that it's bad. And these verses today have a lot of hard truth in them, especially as we try to reconcile pursuing a life of comfort and success. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go through them. I'm going to go through some of these verses one at a time, beginning with the first one. And thank you for your patience as I took my bookmark out. Whoever serves me most must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. That can be hard news. You know, our the Hebrew epistle from today goes through a long list of qualifications for Jesus as the high priest. And one of my favorite commentaries, the Interpreter's Concise, says that we as high priests and leaders have a responsibility to offer gifts and sacrifices to God, both for our own sins and for the sins of others, because we know what human life is like and should be able to sympathize with others, even those who are ignorant or wandering astray. This is a position which men do not seek for themselves, but humans are called to. I think that this is especially true for the Arch Street community. We are, from my understanding, a community of leaders in the community. We are a community that takes effort seriously, and we lean in to making this city and our neighborhoods a better place. And so it's hard news to be told that we have to bring Jesus with us wherever we go. We have to bring Jesus with us wherever we go. Sometimes I struggle with that personally, especially in an age of post-modernity. Christians are often accused of being unenlightened because we believe in something that we cannot prove through science. And then at the exact same time, Christian fundamentalists come at a particular brand of Christianity as a political or social movement and calling Christians not Christians at all. So here we are, or here I am, right in the middle of these two polemics that are diametrically opposed from each other, but still attacking my Christianity. And it is really tempting to leave Christ at home. It is really tempting to downplay or dilute my beliefs when I go to work, to concede to the powers that write my paycheck instead of to follow the will of the Father. It is tempting. But just like Carla mentioned last week, we have a responsibility to be seen and to be vulnerable. We have a responsibility to take Christ with us and take that risk. Let us be seen. Let us be vulnerable enough to share with the world the Christ that we have. I mean, Arch Street is so good at that. I think that we bring all of these members of community into this space. We reorient them towards Christ, and then we send them back out in the community encouraged and ready to present Christ to everyone else. But it doesn't mean that it's easy. It does not. And the second verse today that I want to take a look at is, "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour." This is Jesus struggling. You know, what does it say that our Lord and Savior struggled? From Hebrews today, which is our other scripture reading, it says, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death." I want to think about Moses for this one. I want to think about Moses because Moses is a really good example that sometimes the only way out is through. Quick context. By the time Moses came across the burning bush, Moses had been cast into a basket because Pharaoh said he was going to kill all the sons of Israel, raised by Pharaoh's family as an Egyptian with his mother Jehoshabed as wet nurse. Moses had already killed an Egyptian taskmaster for beating on a Hebrew slave and then fled to the wilderness for 40 years to hide from the fact that he did this. And while all of this seems kind of like a non sequitur, what I think about is that by the time Moses got to the burning bush, he had been given all of the tools that he needed when he was called by God. Moses looked at that burning bush, and Moses declined his call 5 times. God said, are you ready for this? Are you here for this hour? And 5 times, in 5 different ways, Moses, he did not respond with dignity and grace. He said, but I stutter. He said, why me? He said, anyone else? But what Moses finally came to realize is that everything he had done was God setting him up for this exact moment. He had been given all of the tools and all of the resources that he needed. He was raised Egyptian. He had a strong sense of justice. He identified with the Hebrew people. And wait for it, he had 40 years of wilderness training behind him. So by the time that he was sent to go back and rescue his people from Egypt, he had all of the tools that he needed. And he recognized that the only way out is through. No, it is for this moment that I have come, is what Jesus says. And it doesn't make it any easier. Jesus cries out loud. Jesus cries out loud to God, but it doesn't deter him. He recognizes that the only way out is through. Which I would say brings us to the hardest verse of this, which is those that love their life will lose it, and those that hate their life will have eternal life. It's hard to hear. It's really hard to hear. I have to remember that God's inbreaking was for all of humanity, and that God came for the least of these. In this overarching narrative where God came for the poor and the sick and the imprisoned and the discouraged, I think about what some people call the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes, but I think about Luke's version of this, which is called the Sermon on the Plain, because it's a little bit harder to hear. It's not as encouraging news. It's hard news. Matthew's version says, blessed are the poor of spirit. Luke says, blessed are the poor, period, full stop. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those who are hated. That is not encouraging news from either end of the spectrum. You know, I live in a home that has more bedrooms than humans. I had a lovely breakfast of oatmeal and fresh fruit. And so I have to reconcile, where do I fit into these blessings? And at the exact same time, that's really hard news for the poor. How must it feel to be told that all of this suffering and subjugation and squalor will continue on? That you will have to wait until the next life. It's hard news on earth to hear this. But again, it is part of this overarching narrative that God has indeed come for the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, the discouraged. Gustavo Gutierrez calls this the preferential option for the poor. It is this idea that in God's mega narrative, God has been sent for those that are the least of these among us, before the foundations of the earth, all the way to the eschatological end. God has been sent for those that Howard Thurman calls have their backs up against the wall. Sometimes it's hard to hear. And even though I want to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell it to you, and then I'm going to tell you what I told you, I do want to leave some room in there to let us each settle with this ourselves, because I don't know how often any of you have gone hungry. I don't know if any of you have been in prison, but I can tell you that there is a message in that for each of us. And I'm also going to tell you that I'm going to completely dodge the concept of modern martyrdom when it comes to giving up your life, because that can be taken a lot of different ways. What I want to leave you with is from Paul, as he wrote from a Roman prison cell on his way to what he thought could be his execution when it comes to thinking about modern martyrdom. Paul writes in Philippians, "Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and through the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain." I'm not sure how it settles out for each of us. I am still wrestling with what the hard news of Christ means to me. All I can say for now is that I hope that knowing it's hard does not discourage you. And I pray that it gives each of us the perspective and courage to keep sharing the good news of Christ. Because just because it's hard doesn't mean that it's bad. And the only way out is through. Amen.